From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, former hospice worker Diane Archangel joins us with Afterlife Encounters. Should be a fascinating Sunday night into Monday morning Coast to Coast program for you. Some quick news of the day before we get into our quick discussion here with Alex Jones. An off-duty sheriff's deputy went on a killing spree early Sunday morning, gunning down six youths. People just couldn't understand what he was doing. The suspect, a 20-year-old Tyler Peterson, was finally shot and killed by authorities after a manhunt. A mayor out there in the local town said that the suspect was brought down by a sniper, and a dispatcher simply said, "This was a very, very sad situation." This individual apparently was in the Milwaukee area, and there's not a lot known right now other than this off-duty sheriff's deputy went on this killing spree and gunned down six youths in a home out there in Wisconsin. President Bush on Sunday honored fallen firefighters for their dedication and service to the nation. From the September 11 attacks to Hurricane Katrina, he says there were firefighters there from around the country to help. Mr. Bush said at a ceremony where he and others paid tribute to firefighters killed on the job. A plaque with the names of 87 firefighters who died in the line of duty last year was added to the National Fallen Firefighters Memorial on the campus at the National Fire Academy. The names of four others killed in previous years and not honored before were also added. The plaques surrounding the memorial, created in 1981, now show the names of more than 3,100 firefighters, according to the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation. We have a lot of firefighters who listen to this program, and I want you all to know how much we appreciate what you do for all of us. In a race run in scorching heat that left one person dead, Kenya's Patrick Aivuti won the Chicago Marathon by a fraction of a second Sunday. Another 250 runners were taken to hospitals because of heat-related ailments. The 88-degree heat and sweltering humidity were so draining that organizers shut down the second half of the course 4 hours after the start. I'm here in St. Louis for a few more weeks, and I tell you what, we are not getting that traditional cool October weather here in the Midwest. It is really hot stuff. The Sam's Club warehouse chain pulled a brand of ground beef patties from its shelves nationwide after four children who ate the food produced by Cargill became ill from E. coli. Cargill has asked customers to return any remaining patties purchased after August 26th to the store or simply destroy them. The children became ill between September 10 and September 20 after eating ground beef patties that were bought frozen under the name American Chef's Selection Angus Beef Patties from three Sam's Club stores in the Twin Cities area. And the food situation, that's worth a major story soon about just the things we eat and how contaminated so much of this might be. The radioactive fallout from a nuclear accident that rocketed Britain 50 years ago was underestimated, according to scientists. In 1957, a fire at the Windscale reactor led to a release of radioactive material that spread across the United Kingdom and Europe. But new research claims that the incident generated twice as much radioactive material and caused dozens more cancers than previously thought. The research was published in the journal Atmospheric Environment. And as we reported last week, federal marshals posing as supporters peacefully arrested a couple convicted of tax evasion who had been in their New Hampshire mountaintop home for months, vowing to die fighting rather than surrender. Ed and Elaine Brown led the marshals into their secluded Plainfield, New Hampshire compound and home when they were arrested. In a moment, Alex Jones joins us. He's going to tell us a little bit more about this case, and we'll take your phone calls later on. It's a major story. It's a major story because there are so many people in this country who still believe that we don't have a tax code, that we don't have a law that says you have to pay income tax. We'll get Alex's views when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And we're going to spend the remaining portion of the program here on Coast to Coast with Alex Jones as we talk primarily about the Ed and Elaine tax case and just to get Alex's whole views. He's been covering this story for a long, long time. Alex, welcome back to Coast to Coast.
George, thank you so much for having me on. It's great to be here with you.
This situation where the federal marshals went in there, they opposed the supporters, they at least, thank God, peacefully, when they did get the Browns, it was peaceful. And the Browns, of course, who had said on your program and on ours that they would die fighting, I'm glad that didn't happen, Alex.
Well, I am too, George. And talk about stealing thunder. That's what I was going to open with. And then right before you went to break, you were talking about why this is so important. Millions of people on the internet, hundreds of thousands per YouTube video, where they take the audio and put it to video, of the Browns have been following this case for the last 9 months. And you've had a lot of guests on to talk about the private nature of the Federal Reserve and talk about those issues. So a lot of people are watching this. And early on, going back 9 months ago and then about 4 months ago, when they had a federal raid or an attempted raid with armored vehicles and men in ghillie suits, camouflage outfits, trying to go into the Brown property and tasering one of the men that they've now arrested for aiding and abetting the Browns, I was supporting the Browns, saying, please don't go in, don't kill them, don't engage another Waco. But at the same time, I've drawn criticism from some people saying, well, hey, you're not supporting all the talk about reprisals, going after feds, or if something happens to Ed and Elaine Brown, or if they get arrested, you know, there have been these calls for violence. And absolutely, I am firmly against that. The last thing we need is an excuse for the federal government to engage in police state tactics. That's exactly what they've been setting up. And a lot of people in the federal government who are out there don't deserve to be indiscriminately targeted. So this is a huge case. And I have to say that I did watch the federal marshal Monier's press conference on Friday after they grabbed him last Thursday. And I'm not defending what they did. I'm just stating the facts. At Waco and Ruby Ridge, they opened fire on children. They burned down buildings. They tried to burn down Randy Weaver's cabin. And Monier, the federal marshal, said, look, we know that those two events energized mistrust by the American people, really caused a crisis. We know this is a huge movement, and we tried to do this as peacefully as possible. And I have to say that this is better than Ed and Elaine Brown being killed, and it's better than federal marshals or FBI people being killed. Now, that said, George, and there's a lot of things that have developed in the last few days we can talk about if you'd like,
sure,
but
I
would like to just mention, if it's okay, that peacefully, we are winning this debate. We are winning this fight. I pay the income taxes, but I know that until 1913, we didn't have it. And until the 1950s, the average American didn't pay it. People always say, well, how are we going to have a Capitol building? How are we going to have, you know, pay for stuff? None of the income tax, ladies and gentlemen, Ronald Reagan's own commission in 81 showed this, goes to run the government. It goes to interest to the foreign banks that own our private Federal Reserve, the same people that have devalued our currency by more than half in the last few years. And just last week, I have the Las Vegas Review-Journal here in front of me. 4-month trial ends with no convictions. Federal income tax evasion case involved 9 defendants. A criminal tax case alleging income tax evasion and conspiracy dissolved in federal court this week when a jury returned 0 convictions on 161 charges faced by 9 defendants. They were able to show the jury that the IRS is an offshore corporation of the Federal Reserve. They were found not guilty. A prominent lawyer, a Mr. Cryer, Tommy K. Cryer,
oh, yes,
found not guilty 2 months ago. You've covered it.
Yeah, he's been on the program.
So a former Treasury agent, I was the first person interviewing back in 99. He was driving down the road, listening to local L.A. radio, and Joe Bannister syndicated into Oakland, if you want to be technical.
Mm-hmm.
And he heard him saying it was an offshore corporation. It was all, he didn't believe it. He heard D.B. Kidd. So he spent 2 years researching and found that it was all true. He still kept paying but spoke out. They arrested him and charged him. He was found not guilty last year. So my point is that peacefully, just like black folks stood up and spoke out peacefully and stopped being enslaved and oppressed and abused, the same thing is happening now. The fraudulent private banking system is being exposed thanks to your broadcast and others. But I don't mean to pontificate here. It's just very exciting things are happening. And the last thing I wanted to do, there's a lot of people wanting to puff up and act like Rambo and say, let's go have war with the feds. The bad people in our government want that. They want to get the good people in the government on their side by us doing something rash. And I'm just calling for calm here because Brown lost a lot of his support the last few months saying, hey, I shoot into the woods when I see people moving around.
Right.
You can't invite people to your property and then when you see movement, shoot into the woods. That's not the proper safe use of firearms that I was brought up with. That's not what you're supposed to do. And talk of bloodbaths is not the way to handle this. And frankly, he shot himself in the foot. And I care about Ed Brown. I care about Elaine Brown. I'm very upset about what happened. But at the same time, I got criticized by the Patriot movement, which they never criticized me, but I had to do this, George. Back a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, when they were having parties there with 300 people, I said, look, folks, this is a war zone. They could move in there at any time. You don't bring children there.
Right.
And the feds came in, Homeland Security, with a helicopter at less than 30 feet, lower than trees, totally dangerous. The feds shouldn't have done that. I chastised them. They were acting like children. Some of the other people were acting like children. I mean, we need to de-escalate this. We are on the verge of winning the fight against the New World Order through peaceful info like Gandhi did. The last thing we need is anybody to go engage in reprisals against feds.
Alex, the Browns stopped paying income taxes in 1996. They said the Constitution and the Supreme Court decisions supported their claims that ordinary labor cannot be taxed. They didn't win in court, even though Ed Brown demanded, show me the law. Why, in some cases, as you pointed out, do some people beat this rap and other people, like Ed and Elaine Brown, don't?
Well, that's why Ed had his back against the wall. That's why I pray for Ed every day, and I understand that I can imagine the stress he was under. I'm not blaming him. I just didn't want to see innocent people hurt, he and his wife included. He wasn't given a fair trial. I've looked at the record of it, and that's why they stopped showing up halfway through it. Anywhere that they're actually able to show people the code. I mean, look, when you fill out one of the W forms, depending on what your tax bracket is or how you're paid, W-2, W-10, when you fill that out, you waive your Fifth Amendment against incriminating yourself. You're not supposed to be forced to answer questions about yourself. And the IRS has lost on that, so they've taken the clause out of the form saying you've got to answer it under threat of perjury because they got in a lot of trouble. Bottom line, it's private banks running a scam. The employees of the IRS don't even know it, but now they're finding out. It's dangerous to even expose them and talk about it. I'm doing that. You're doing that, having guests on that discuss it. They didn't get a fair trial. And they were in the right completely. When the feds were going in there to have a raid 3 months ago, 4 months ago, I gave them my full support. I know you covered it. No reason for the feds to kill them. But then once it developed into let's have a shootout with the feds with 50 caliber rifles, if they come in here, let's kill a bunch of them, let's go after federal judges, that is the last thing this country needs. And I've been saying on my website, prisonplanet.com and infowars.com, you've been saying on your worldwide radio show, I know, that we don't need things like that to happen. And the reason I keep repeating that is because there's a lot of people talking like that right now, and if they would just be calm and stand back from this, they need to understand that the truth movement's having a lot of victories right now. This is the last thing we need.
That's one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on tonight, Alex, because you are correct. I mean, the internet is abuzz with people who want to take the law into their own hands and try to fight back at what they believe is an injustice, and that's the worst thing that could happen. What I want to do is continue to publicize, and I'm not alone at this. There's some other national talk show hosts around this country who want a fair tax. and that they are beating the drum far louder than I am. But I want this to be publicized so all of us can take a look at it and see just what the heck this is. Now, you talked a little bit about the IRS being an offshore corporation. Explain that, if you would.
Okay, we're under admiralty law. We're under the Uniform Commercial Code now. It's administrative law courts. And what happened is private Bank of England shareholders predominantly in 1913 had come in and they had maneuvered their way into Congress. They even had hundreds of newspapers write articles against the Federal Reserve Act, claiming that the big banks were against it when in truth they'd written it. The people fell for it. They supported it. The Congress passed it. And then from that point on, you have this multi-member board. The president only nominates its chairman. The rest of them are on the private corporate board. Mm-hmm. And then literally this private bank is able to order the issuance of the currency and credit. So out of nothing, this handful of families that own the private Federal Reserve now have control of the Treasury and order it around. And they're always raising the debt ceiling for the government to issue more credit or bail out banks or bail out mortgage companies. They have to create more debt that you and I and all of our families are on the hook for. And it is part of the record. It's in the white pages that the Federal Reserve is private. It is in the business pages. It is not in the government pages. And if you and in fact, the Federal Reserve Chairman Bernanke and Greenspan have been asked about this in Congress and have had to admit it. And if you go to their charters of the IRS, you go to the charter of the Federal Reserve, they are registered in Puerto Rico and Guam. And anybody can verify this in 5 minutes if you want to go look it up. And the District of Columbia, which was set up pre-1913 but really took full force then, is a shadow corporation that has been metastasizing and replacing the original government ever since. And so this is not our government. This is a private consortium, and that's why they're privatizing the roads and handing them over to themselves, the power plants, the water treatment facilities, the colleges. This is literally the takeover of our entire society.
That is absolutely amazing at how we are witnessing, Alex, this unfolding right before our very eyes.
You're right, and thanks to you and others, the people now, I mean, I talked about the Federal Reserve 12, 13 years ago. Nobody knew about it. Now everybody's like, okay, tell me something I don't know. So we're reaching that point, and people are finding out the Federal Reserve devalued the currency. The people are finding out the Federal Reserve is selling out our sovereignty. The people are finding out that the Federal Reserve is foreign, and the people are getting extremely angry. But going back to Edna Lane Brown, I think they should be released. I think that they should have their sentences commuted. I think that they should be given a fair shake if they, you know, publicly swear to not do anything violent. The problem is that they would have been perfect martyrs for this movement if they wouldn't have made the incendiary threats, but they have their back against the wall, and they're heroes for that. I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm just looking at the larger geopolitical ramifications of this. But just 6 months ago, they tried to pass that amnesty bill, and in one of the provisions, it said that the illegal aliens who'd been here would get 5 years of income tax amnesty, and that anyone who had an aggravated felony could just sign a waiver saying they swore to never engage in rape, robbery, armed robbery, arson. That was listed. That was in the bill. So if illegal aliens can be given a pardon or amnesty, I really think the Browns should. And if the New World Order was thinking straight, they would do that. Imprisoning the Browns is just going to make them folk hero icons. And the sick side of me that wants to see the New World Order totally defeated by hook or by crook, in a Machiavellian way, I say persecute them to the 10th degree. But the human side of me says, New World Order, you'd be much smarter to release these people or to at least get them out in a few months. Because if you make an example out of them and others, you're just going to enrage more people. The cat's out of the bag, Pandora's box is open, genie's out of the bottle, whatever cliche. The truth is out on this issue, and people know that she tried to give illegal aliens amnesty on their taxes, but not at Edna Lane Brown.
We're going to keep Alex for phone calls when we come right back. his two websites. He's actually got more. We'll have him give some of the rest of them out when we come back. But the ones I know about, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, and he's got a few more that are tied into some of the videos that he works with. We'll be back in a moment with Alex Jones and your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we're going to take your phone calls with Alex Jones in just a moment. Hey, my partner in our book, Worker in the Light, Bill Burns, and I, we're working on a sequel to Worker in the Light. And Bill is looking for spiritual awakening stories. He's on the line with us now, and I'll have Bill explain what he's looking for. Hey, Bill, how are you?
Hi, George. How are you? Calling in from Las Vegas tonight.
Well, enjoy. And tell me a little bit now about the sequel and what you're looking for specifically.
Well, what we're looking for are stories from people who have basically become enlightened, who in their travels in the world have looked over out of the conventional mindset of everyday reality and discovered things about themselves, discovered things about their relationship to the universe, their relationship to the Creator, their relationship to time and space, that's different from the comings and goings of most people in everyday world. We're looking for people who've had near-death experiences, people who have tuned in to their intuitive voices and been able to see things through their intuition instead of just seeing things through their eyes. We're looking for people who have communicated with the other side. Tonight, for example, we, for the first time in the book Workers in the Light, the sequel, will have the story of a spiritual guide, a young woman who communicates with the departed, telling the story of what really happened in the final moments of TWA Flight 800.
Well, that's remarkable. Now, Bill, we've got a link up at coasttocoastam.com where people can get to you with the stories. It's been up there for about a week right now. Are you getting some information now? Are you getting the emails?
Yes, I am, and we're getting some incredible stories. When you realize that there's a whole world out there of people who have, in some ways, have been gifted, that's true, but in other ways have discovered something about themselves and the way they relate to the universe, people who have been with their loved ones near death, and their loved ones begin talking to people in the room about their parents. And literally, it's as if they have crossed onto another plane while they're still in this plane, talking to people who are welcoming them to another plane of the user, to the universe. In other words, there is no death. These people, and we, I believe, simply go to another plane. We've spoken with people who have had near-death experiences that absolutely are not hallucinations or delusions. They called exactly what happened in the room at the moment of their clinical death and then came back to describe it. So these are some unbelievable stories we're getting from people. And okay, I appreciate it. I thank people for sharing these stories with us.
All right, we'll make sure you get more. Thanks, Bill. All you have to do is go to the coasttocoastam.com website. There's a direct link, and send the kinds of stories that Bill is looking for. When we come right back, Alex Jones and your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie, Alex Jones with us. We'll take your calls. Alex, I mentioned a couple websites, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, but you've got another one out with the TV on the end of it, don't you?
We do. I mean, those are the two main news sites, but I have a new film that's coming out that folks are pre-ordering now. It comes out the end of the month, InGameTheMovie.com, my new film, Endgame, about the eugenics plan. I started researching the global government and their goals, and I thought I knew about the goal of world population reduction, but in the last year and a half, I've read more than 20 books, hundreds of their own internal documents that have been declassified, and the new film covers their master plan to exterminate more than 80% of the population. We have them absolutely dead in our sights, George. We know what their master plan is now.
Okay, to the phones we go. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
George, Alex, good evening. May I say what a pleasure it is to speak with you for the first time.
Good to talk
to you.
Thank you.
Listen, Alex, I really appreciate the things you've brought out here about the Ed Brown story and keeping us apprised of it. It seems to me that the income tax, it keeps us shackled here in America. It was the brainchild of Karl Marx. And it seems to me that we have rolling through the hills of this country a movement called the Fair Tax Movement that would solve this problem. I'd like to know your feelings about the Fair Tax as a solution to the problem that we're now facing with the income tax.
Well, I think a national sales tax would be fine if it didn't include federal regulation of every terminal, every cash register, every shopping cart. They're talking about a graduated sales tax now. I've been talking about it for 15 years. And with that, they would then have to check and see what bracket you were in, and that would bring a lot of control. But if it was done correctly and done properly, it'd certainly be better than the income tax. The income tax is designed so that you can't properly follow it. What Money Magazine and Forbes have separately done several different issues where they send it to 20 tax preparers or 50 tax preparers and get 20 or 50 different answers. And that's the problem. I mean, I end up spending weeks every year just fiddling and messing with taxes. I end up paying more than even these mobsters ask for, because I don't want to be in their clutches. I mean, my father back in 1989 paid all the quote taxes, and they came back and said retroactive. And I remember my dad having to actually sell one of the family cars and freaking out, going, "My God, I paid them." They say it's retroactive now.
Oh, man, yeah.
So, I mean, we need to get rid of the income tax and the Federal Reserve.
Well, and look at, if we go to some kind of use tax, look at all the drug money that's out there, Alex, that is buying things, yachts and other things, commodities, jewelry, that at least would get some revenue from, at least.
You know, that's
in
a
this
point
country.
I hadn't thought of. That will totally cut into money laundering.
Oh, huge. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Take it away.
Hi. I have to, if there's time. Otherwise, my first question is, I have heard Alex and others before mention that the 16th Amendment was never fully ratified, and the information I have is it was ratified February 3rd, 1913, but I would like it if Alex could mention where a person can obtain the official information that conclusively demonstrates that two-thirds of the states hadn't ratified that amendment.
All right. Hadn't or had. What do you think, Alex?
Sure. World War II veteran, a highly decorated veteran, Red Beckman, went out with several other people back in the 70s and 80s and traveled to all of the 40-plus states that were there at the time. I think it was like 46 states. And they found a whole bunch of them that had not ratified it at their Secretary of State's office or their Attorney General's office, depending on the state. And they wrote a two-volume book that's over 2,000 pages, that I've read the whole thing, by the way. It's The Law That Never Was. And both the men are extremely elderly now. I can't ever get a hold of Red Beckman. He is in very bad health, and as most World War II vets unfortunately are.
Yeah.
And so is the other World War II vet he wrote it with. His name escapes me at the time. But, yes, they did not ratify it. And that is a fraud. But regardless, the Constitution says that you can't have those type of taxes. It's clearly enumerated in the Constitution. And the earlier caller said Karl Marx. It's true. Go read the Communist Manifesto. Type it into Google. It's a central bank and an income tax. Once you do that, you've got centralized control. People get confused. You've got these capitalists who want monopolies, so they finance the communist model. I mean, now even History Channel admits that our government put Mao Zedong into power because he would, quote, be easy to deal with, one guy to deal with. This is how they operate.
Alex, what do you say to the person, because we should all be patriots, but what do you say to the person who is truly a patriotic American who simply says, hey, I love my country. I'm a patriot. I pay my taxes. I want good things to happen for America. What do you tell him when so many other people say, we don't want to pay income tax?
Well, it's simple. We have multinational foreign corporations that run this country, and they don't pay the tax. And And there are hundreds of constitutional texts. There are a whole we ran this country until the 1950s. They passed it in 13, but if you didn't make $1 million a year, you didn't pay but 2%. And it didn't become popularized until the early 1950s. So we built this nation and had 12% growth rates on average until the income tax came in. Now we have a 3% growth rate, which doesn't even, you know, deal with inflation. So the patriotic thing to do is to cut taxes and to get rid of unconstitutional taxes and to get rid of taxes that take a magician to figure out. I mean, I've got an accountant, I've got a tax lawyer, and they can't give me straight answers. And everybody knows that, and I'm sick of it. And bottom line, I comply with this mafia, but I know it's an offshore corporation. So if you're patriotic, you need to expose the fact that the income tax is a fraud.
Wildcard Line, your turn. Where are you calling from? Hi.
Hi, this is Tom in Boston.
Your Red Sox are on fire, Tom.
Yeah. Red Sox, the Patriots, and a few actual Patriots also. When I think of Liberty, I think of Alex Jones, I think of George Norrie, and I think of Ron Paul right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess my question is more for Alex, who knows Ron Paul more personally and has talked to him kind of offline behind the scenes. It seems like I met Dr. Paul when he was up in New Hampshire, a man of huge integrity, very impressed with him. But when it comes down to the debates, like on these very important issues, the North American Union, he doesn't even really bring that up, that there is a North American Union, where I think he could really find some fire. On the issue of 9/11, he hasn't really confronted that head on. When I could tell you there's not one Ron Paul supporter.
Let me just try to answer the question, because I understand you're asking why he doesn't talk about that, right?
And then finally, is he gonna come on and say there's no income tax law and we ought to let Ed and Elaine Brown free?
Let me stop you. He's already gone on Fox News and said leave Ed and Elaine Brown alone. You know, there's a lot of COINTELPRO. That's feds that try to get us to fight with each other on the web, attacking Ron Paul, attacking Endgame, attacking George, attacking anybody that is really trying to cause a new renaissance here. A, Ron Paul's introduced legislation to abolish the IRS and the Federal Reserve for the last 18 years in Congress. That's disinfo that he hasn't. B, Ron Paul knows when he is on Fox News or CNN, he's talking the lowest common denominator of people that don't listen to Coast to Coast AM or don't watch C-SPAN, aren't informed, don't read a newspaper even. And so he is, frankly, dumbing it down. He's attempting to win, and that's why Las Vegas is saying he's the only person that can beat Hillary. He's gone from 25-1 to 6-1. And if the trajectory continues when the primaries start in 85 days, he is in position to win. He raised $5.5 million last quarter. That's $2 million more than Mitt Romney. Okay, so I don't want to get off into political strategy here and things, but I've been friends with Ron Paul for 14 years. Before I even got on air, I'd met and had dinner with Ron Paul, and he is a great person of integrity. When he was 7 years old, he got up at 5 a.m. every day to milk the cows. I mean, that literally worked at a dairy, and he's the son of German immigrants. Ron Paul is literally the best thing you could ever ask for. He is founding father material. I don't mean to get off into some...
Well, heck, Alex, most of the politicians wake up early just to milk us.
Oh, man, I'm going to steal that one. That's good.
It's all yours. Use it tomorrow on your show. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Good evening. Good morning, Alex. How are you?
Hey.
Listen, when I first started listening to you years ago when you were on KLBJ... I was a little put off and I didn't quite understand the method to your madness. But here over the past few years, things have changed and I really admire your desire to have a nonviolent approach to making change in the country. And since I do live in Austin, I'd really like to, volunteer my services to help in your efforts. That superhighway that they're building right through Austin, I can actually see it from my house.
Which the media then denies exists.
Well, I know how well it exists because I'm looking at it every
time. No, I know. I mean, it's an official TxDOT.
It's there.
Documents. They call it the NAFTA highway, and you talk about it, and they say it doesn't exist.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to see what I could do to personally help you in your effort.
Well, I'll tell you bottom line, sir. I mean, really, I have a small operation myself. Really, the best thing you can do is just spread the word. Tell folks about Coast to Coast AM. Believe it or not, there are a few people that don't know about it, and not too many, but a lot of folks don't know about PrisonPlanet.com and the things we do. I mean, really, it's like Pat Buchanan said back in 96, don't wait for orders from headquarters. Go to the sound of the guns. Pick an issue. Get involved. I mean, look, 97% of Texans in major polls are against the NAFTA highway, but the politicians still do it. So the question is, why are they still – George, that's a good question. Why do they keep doing whatever they want despite what's constitutional and what the people want?
They just do what they want. It is absolutely amazing. And every once in a while, Alex, every once in a while, they'll feed us all a few crumbs just to calm us down.
Exactly. That's exactly what they do. So, you know, I mean, to the caller, God bless you. I salute you. I know this. We're winning the war for hearts and minds, but the establishment just moves forward. So we've got this collision course, and I ask people who serve the establishment, why do you serve them? I mean, they've devalued the dollar 62 cents since 2000. The euro was at 80 cents. Now it's at 142. I mean, they're destroying our nation. They do all these bad things. I mean, why are we going along? We're all together. I mean, I was just thinking tonight during the show, I'm not an enemy with feds. They want to play the people and the feds off against each other. We all live in the same neighborhoods. We're all fighting for the same thing. We just need to continue to get the word out, and we're going to win.
And by and large, most of the feds are hardworking men and women who just have a job like we do, Alex.
Exactly. They're investigating bank robberies. They're investigating child molesters. And they need to understand that we're telling the truth. Look into what we're saying. We're human beings, too. We're saying you're human. Look into our claims. Find out that it's an offshore corporation like Joe Bannister, armed Treasury agent, spent 2 years researching what we say. He didn't believe it. He went to his supervisors, and they said, yeah, it's true. Shut up about it. We work for foreign corporations. Shut up. I mean, it is so big when you find out about this, and the only thing I fear is the globalists staging another terror or activating their CIA to Al-Qaeda forces and trying to short-circuit what we're doing, because the New World Order, I mean, I have the official documents now, George. I've done a year and a half of investigation, and I just beg you to have me on the next few months to go over this, because the Endgame, this new film that is about to come out in 2 weeks at endgamethemovie.com, or what is right. endgame.com, it is absolutely amazing what we've discovered. I mean, I knew eugenics was a part of their program, and I knew Hitler had learned it from the British and the Americans, but I didn't know that they had funded hundreds of front corporations. I didn't know that literally there was this web of control, and that they were really planning to do it. And as soon as they have their world government, George, they plan on releasing genetically engineered bioplagues and exterminating the public. And the globalists have done everything they said they'd do, and that's why I'm so horrified.
I wanted to find you a few weeks ago, Alex. You were all over the country at that time to react to the report that said that the planet, specifically India, China, India will end up with more people than China. The planet can't continue to sustain everybody. I wanted to get your quick reaction. We don't have a lot of time now to population control.
I know,
20 seconds left.
I missed your call, so I hope we can do that in the future. George, bottom line, the UN admits that when we hit 9 billion in 2050, we will then plane down to about 6 billion. With proper science, the Earth can sustain 8 billion people. Are humans hurting the planet? Yes. But the globalists are doing nothing for the clean energies. They're suppressing those, as you've covered many times. And moving forward with the petrochemical model, in fact, I have 1944 British and U.S. documents where they said they were going to suppress third world development in the name of environmentalism to keep them from developing, and that it would actually cause more environmental degradation because they continue to cut down trees for firewood, but they didn't care.
Alex, we're out of time. Get together with producer Lisa. Come up with, here's your mission, 3 hours of each hour. I want it to be a separate topic with you. So come up with an outline with our producer, and let's get rolling on a full show with you. I'm George Norrie. I'll be back in a moment. Alex Jones's websites, PrisonPlanet.com, InfoWars.com. We'll be back in a moment with our special guest for the program tonight, Diane Archangel. I kid you not. Afterlife Encounters.